Good morning. Today is Monday, August 17th, 2026. Welcome to the Wake Up Call. My name is Matt LaRoy, and I am really excited and honored to be a part of this week with you. I'm stepping in for JD to fill in for this week on the Wake Up Call, and I'm excited and honored for a couple of reasons. Number one, JD has been a friend and mentor to me for 20 years. And so anytime that I get to partner up or support him in any way, I'm always just honored to do that. Secondly, I'm excited because I am a part of the Wake Up Call community. And this community, I've been engaging with the Wake Up Call since it started years back. And so reading and listening and engaging in these different ways. And it's been such a key part of my own spiritual growth and my own discipleship with Jesus. And because it's been so shaping for me, I'm really honored to get to sow a few seeds back into this community that has meant so much. So thanks for being with us, and I'm excited to make this journey with you. Let's begin, as we always do, with our prayer of consecration. We will come back to this every day this week, just like the Wake Up Call always does. This frames our time together. It helps us to gather our minds, to gather our hearts, and prepare ourselves, not just to hear the Word of God, but to be transformed by the Word of God. So let's enter into this prayer of consecration together. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. We're praying this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. And actually, we're going to stay in the Gospel of Matthew all week together. We're going to be walking with Jesus on this trajectory of discipleship through this gospel. So we're beginning today here at the calling of his first disciples in Matthew chapter 4. Starting with verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Consider this. Rachel was a core leader in our scrappy little Bible study, meeting in the back room of a downtown restaurant. She was a doctoral student working in a science lab at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and she was always quick to invite her colleagues and friends to join us. That's how I met Ryan. Ryan was a self-described agnostic with lingering memories of his mother's Catholicism and resurfacing questions about faith. He was curious about Rachel's experience with Jesus, and he found others on various stages of that journey around that restaurant table. College students, professionals, friends experiencing homelessness, followers, seekers, skeptics. Some came with notebooks and highlighters. A few were definitely just there for the nachos. Ryan brought amazing questions and insights about the scripture every week. It was beautiful, refreshing, inspiring to open the story of Jesus with him. He must have sensed a similar connection because he started attending and then volunteering at church on Sunday mornings. He was one of the first to arrive and last to leave, setting up and tearing down the sound booth in the back of the old rented theater. As we served communion each week, I would take the bread and cup back to several volunteers in that booth. Knowing he was not at that point of decision yet, he would gently cross his arms like an X across the chest. A simple way to say, no, not yet. I can still see it in my mind. Then the day came. He still had unanswered questions and doubts, but he also had faith and trust. He opened himself to receive the saving grace of Jesus. He responded to the call to follow. Gathered with his friends and family on the overgrown bank of a muddy Morgan Creek, Ryan made his way down into the water to be baptized. He shared his story. He confessed his faith in Jesus and professed his commitment to follow him. As I prepared to lean him back into the water, he did what every other person getting baptized that day had done before him. But seeing him do it struck me and took me back. He gently crossed his arms like an X across his chest. I shouldn't have been surprised. I'm the one that asked him and everyone else to do it for logistics sake so that they could hold their nose if they wanted to and I could grip their arm as I leaned them back into the water. But this time with Ryan, it was about more than logistics. I can still see it in my mind. Ryan, with arms crossed, buried with Christ in his death and raised up in his resurrection. The same symbol he used week after week as a simple way to say, no, not yet, was now transformed into a sign proclaiming an all-consuming yes. That is what is going on in today's scripture passage as well. When Jesus called his first disciples, it says they left their nets and followed him. This image is significant because Peter, Andrew, James, and John were fishermen by trade, just like many from their fishing village located on the Sea of Galilee. So the nets represented their profession, their source of income, their entire way of life. For James and John, who left their father Zebedee behind in the boat, this was a family business, maybe even a generational family tradition they were expected to pass on to their children as well. This shows that from the very beginning, would-be disciples had been confronted with the cost of following Jesus. Even those who do not believe in Jesus as the divine Messiah will acknowledge that he is one of the most significant teachers of all time. Yet in his style of discipleship, the teaching is not limited to formal instruction or a collection of wise sayings. So don't envision just a sanctuary or an auditorium. His classrooms are open fields and city streets. These disciples will walk with him on the long, dusty roads in the countryside as they move from village to town. They will hang on his words and find opportunities to put them into practice, hands-on experience in real time. They will hear about the wild mercy and holy love of God, and they will see it unleashed in the real lives of real people, even their own. To follow Jesus means to go where he goes, to learn to do what he does, to live how he lives, to hear his words and do more than just memorize them, more than use them as a shield or a weapon, to obey them, to breathe them in and live them out, to orient everything in life around his life, to become more and more like him day by day, grace by grace. Following Jesus calls for that kind of all-consuming yes to him. For these boys, the nets carried a certain meaning. They were a symbol, day after day and year after year, tying them to a respectable past and a predictable future. But now, left behind on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, they're transformed into a sign proclaiming an all-consuming yes. And thanks to the Gospel of Matthew, those nets are still there on that shore, still speaking to us, asking us to loosen our grip on the former way of life, revealing our fears and the things we trust more than Jesus, showing us a better, narrow way, and challenging us that surrender to Jesus is always worth the price. Here's our prayer for today. Jesus, help me to live in response to your invitation. Show me what I need to surrender and give me the courage and strength to let it go now. Amen. Here are a couple of journal prompts for today. Is there something Jesus is asking you to leave behind and surrender to him? If so, what are the barriers to saying yes? Do you trust him? And if you can't quite answer that one yet, then let's start one step back. Do you think he might be trustworthy? Why or why not? Let that question plant a seed for you and do its own kind of work in you. Well, I know that one of the most favorite parts and highlights of the wake up call every day is when we get to sing together. We get to sing a hymn from our great Redeemer's Praise, the Seabed Hymnal, at the end of every day. And so we're going to continue that on. JD was very clear that we were going to do that. And I did let him know, however, that I'm not the one to lead the singing, okay? So I have recruited some friends and people who are very special to me to lead us in a hymn each day. And each day, the hymn is not just something that matches and fits well and embodies the scripture passage from the day, even though everyone will do that. Even more than that, the hymn actually is embodied by the person that I've asked to lead the song that day. So again, special people in my life who've been a significant part of my discipleship journey that I am asking to help me through this process. And so today's hymn is I'd Rather Have Jesus, and you'll see how that matches up with what we were talking about today. And that's found, this hymn 140, in our great Redeemer's Praise. So our song leaders for today are actually my dad and my grandmother, who is affectionately known as Mamaw. And yes, you are allowed to call her that as well. That's what she'll answer to. As we know, we love when JD's dad, Mr. David Walt, joins to lead in the singing. And he's our favorite worship leader. He's the patron saint of farmers and song leaders. And we're always so inspired by that. And so I am borrowing from that inspiration and inviting my dad and grandmother. This might start a trend, y'all. We might need to start a little traveling group or something with all these song leaders. So I asked them to sing this song today, I'd Rather Have Jesus, for a couple of reasons. Obviously, it embodies today's passage. But it's also a song that I can remember my grandparents singing in their ministry through the years. My papaw and mamaw would do revival services and would be traveling evangelists for preaching and singing. Papaw would preach and sing. Mamaw would sing, play the piano, and play the accordion, which I tried to get her to do for this, but it's not happening. But that's all right. We can hold out hope for another time. But even though my papaw passed away over 30 years ago, as he has in so many other ways, my dad is taking up his mantle here with the singing today. So this will be a special time for us. Again, I'd Rather Have Jesus, hymn 140, my dad, my mama, and all of us together. Amen.
I'd rather be his than the riches untold. I'd rather. Be sweet.